Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
During the pandemic, I woke up to several thousand dollars in my account. He knew I was struggling at the time. My podcast got canceled. I'm pregnant. I had no income. And he was there for me in a time when no one else was.
I'm struggling here. I'm not saying I'm going to be his best friend again. I'm not saying come over for dinner. Let me paint your toenails white. I'm struggling not forgiving this human who has been there for me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was a clip from this week's Vanderpump Rules. They're in Lake Tahoe still. The Tom Sandoval redemption tour is continuing, but she said she's not going to paint his hooves white. She's over it. She's over it, although it seems like she and Lala and the whole cast, they have to come together. It's all so crazy. And last week on the show, I don't even think on the podcast I talked about them hitting the wall with that... A lot of you pointed out, like, I didn't even talk about them with the hammer when they were hitting that wall. And I think I had a trauma response to it, really. I think I just completely blacked it out. We didn't talk about it on the show. And I take copious notes, but I swear some of this season is just so off the wall to me. I mean, the things that we're doing, I've never seen these people do so many group building exercises. And it's so wild to me because when you really break it all down, with Sheena and Lala, like, the idea that they want to be friends with Tom Sandoval is crazy. I know they have to do it for the show to bridge these gaps, but when you really strip away all the artifice, it's just these two young mothers trying to be friends with this touring cover band artist that's single and is fucked over their friends. And it's like, why are you trying to be friends with this man? It's obviously because of production, but when you really strip it all away, it's like, what the fuck is going on? Why are they all trying to be friends with him after he screwed over their friend? And then not only that, with Shishi, I'm like, what are you doing trying to buddy up with Tom Sandoval? Because not only did he fuck over your friend and cheat on her, all that kind of good stuff, but you know he was in cahoots with Rachel when she was filing that legal thing against Shishi, and she had to go to court, remember, like Elle Woods, because she had a closed fist, and then Rachel was saying she had an open fist and scratch her with those nails after the Scandoval dropped. And so she already had to deal with that whole court case. And I know Tom Sandoval was telling Rachel, saying like, yeah, you should go through with it, man. Yeah, you should sue her. Yeah, man. Like, you just know that he was saying that at the apartment with Rachel when they were trying to sue Shishi, allegedly. And so that all happened. And then we find out this week on the show that it was also Tom Sandoval that potentially started the rumors about Brock and Rachel hooking up. And so it's like, in what world would you either want to be friends with that person? And then there's this whole Dancing with the Stars business, which I can't wait to get into, because not only did it come up at the end of this episode on Vanderpump Rules that she seems to be a little jealous of Ariana going on Dancing with the Stars, but then I saw a clip from next week's show and it brings it up again, and I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated as hell by all of this stuff because this is what I want to see on the show. I want to see how they're jealous and dealing with brand deals and with appearance fees, and how did Scandoval, all of that. I'm very fascinated about it. And Shishi doesn't seem to be tethered to reality. And quite frankly, I don't want Shishi tethered to any sort of reality. I think that's what makes her a great reality TV star. So yes, she wants to be on Dancing with the Stars, and we should put her on Dancing with the Stars because she helped launch Vanderpump Rules off the back of her affair with Mr. Coyote Ugly. She's been married on camera, divorced on camera, married again on camera. She bought a penguin for a man who left her in the cold arms of Meemaw. Much like the movie Footloose, I'm going to need this showbiz town to let Shishi dance because I don't want to live in a world that allows people like Sean Spicer, Carol Baskin, and Bristol Palin to dance the cha-cha every week while Sheena Shea waits at home for the call to entertain us. And that's all I have to say on that. Put Sheena on Dancing with the Stars. God bless the USA. Okay, so we're in Lake Tahoe this week. A lot of happy music. We're waking up in this rental house. Peaceful wake-ups. James wants his chocolates. There's Heinekens anywhere, everywhere. Tom Sandoval is writing in his journal. Now, I did pause the screen to just relay to you what he wrote in this journal because he was seemingly writing in it, at 9:55 a.m. on July 15th, 2023, and he wrote, "Yesterday was one of the craziest filming experiences I've had since being on this show. Walked into the airport, and Sheena called me over to where they were sitting like nothing had happened," he wrote. "Probably one of the worst days to have only gotten 1 hour of sleep plus flying. I was very emotional all day because of the lack of sleep and being overwhelmed. I feel love from everyone. Conversation could have gone better, but it was definitely productive." And then the next two sentences were censored, and I would love to know what he put in that journal that was censored. Like, what could that have been? Do you think it was about Rachel? Do you think it was about some sort of filming thing? Anyway, then there was one last sentence said, "We have the wellness today, and I have a really good feeling about it." And it was a bad feeling because the wellness did not go good. Lala called you a groomer. did not go as he hoped, and according to that journal. And so, unfortunately, the day didn't end how he thought it was going to end. But we did have this wellness retreat. And again, I just find it so strange that these young mothers are trying to do these meditative exercises with this man that not only fucked over their friend, sent him to court, and started rumors about their husband hooking up with their mistress. And then it's crazy. It's crazy. All of it's nuts. And I know they have to do it. I get it. But I don't understand. This show really painted itself in a corner with this whole scandal thing. Yes, it was great TV, but they painted themselves in a corner because I'm not even believing any of it. It's all a bunch of bullshit watching them do these meditative exercises and then hop on a boat. I'm like, who are these? They don't even seem like they're friends. And then nobody's drinking or anything, which is fine. I don't really drink either in my real life anymore. However, when I'm watching TV and everybody's talking about being sober every second, I'm like, what is this show that we're watching? And I know everybody's calling Katie and Ariana mean girls because they're not even with the group. And they kind of got the sourpusses on their face when they're on the phone and stuff. But I actually respect that because they're not playing by the rules of television. And so that's how we would all be in real life. We'd say, why would I want to be friends with this fucking asshole that like is screwed over everybody and lied and continues to lie and keeps going, oh yeah, man, oh, you know, why would you be friends with them? And so it is crazy. The whole thing is crazy, but I feel like watching it makes me feel kind of like a mind fuck because I'm watching it and I'm like, well, that wouldn't happen in real life, but it's a reality show. It just like totally takes me out of it. And so I don't know what they're going to have to do, but I did think this was the best episode of the season so far. I just still think it's crazy. Okay, so then we have Sheena and Lala. I played that clip. Brock has gone golfing in the morning, and they're talking about becoming friends with Tom. And Sheena reveals this thing about Tom PayPaling her. And she says she's really struggling. She said, it's not like I want to paint them toenails white. She said,
I'm not saying come over for dinner. Let me paint your toenails white.
Also, like, what are we painting the hooves white for? I just feel like there's a producer off stage or off camera just yelling at them, like, become friends with Tom Sinsville. And it's like, well, why? Like, he's not even showing enough remorse for anybody to believably be able to say on camera, yeah, we forgive you. We want to be friends and move forward. Like, he's not giving them enough to work with. And so you see later in the episode, I know we'll get there, but you see Lala really kind of like lose it on Tom Sinsville because she's like, look, the producers are forcing us to become friends. And yet you're not giving me any sort of ammo to help you that happen, to help build that bridge. And so it's like, what are we all doing here? And the producers, what they really should have done is went to Tom Sandoval and said, you are the one who needs to build these bridges. Instead, it seems like they went to the women and were like, you guys are the ones who need to build these bridges. And the show, it's always been, we've said this on Everything Iconic for years and years. You can go back and listen to old ass episodes. They always seem to have the backs of the men on this show. And so it's like, I think that the production went up to the men and they said, you guys just keep doing what you're doing. And then they went up to Sheena, Lala. They probably said this to Ariana and Katie. They would go up to the women and say, you guys need to build this bridge. You need to mend these fences, get the show back on track. And it's like, well, why doesn't Tom have to go and show, is the right word, contrition? Or he's just not showing enough to help them build that bridge. And I'm thinking to myself as the audience member, it's like, well, why is the onus on these women on this show for all of the mistakes these men have made? Why don't we just kick the men off the show and follow the women and see these gals? I don't know. Maybe that show wouldn't work either, but at least it wouldn't be putting us in this corner and making the audience feel so awkward as they're trying to mend these fences that don't even make sense to why they're mending them. And then again, just the chemistry of that group on the Tahoe trip, it just didn't even feel like a group of friends. I don't know if it was because there weren't enough people or what it was, but I'm watching Allie go up in that gondola ride and I'm like, she don't want to be here. I don't think she fits in with this group exactly, although I love her. It just is like, what is this group that I'm watching now? It seems like a weird group, doesn't it? Am I just the only one? And I love Allie, so I don't even mean to single out Allie. It's just like, I'm looking at them on the gondola. I'm like, how did we get here? Who are these people? Who are these people to each other? It feels so unnatural to me that they would even be vacationing together, let alone trying to really struggle to mend these relationships with someone named Shannon, who this woman, we could talk about this woman in Tao. She's the wellness instructor that came by. She was hired by Tom Sandoval to help him rehab his image. Anyway, as soon as she arrives, Tom Sandoval introduces her to Hippie, the dog, or Graham. He's like, this is Graham. Actually, we're calling him Hippie. And she, right off the bat, is like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, she's walking into this fun house and she's like, what? Probably has no idea what's going on in real time because she knows the news. Although she did say that she's like, she was sitting there listening to Sandoval talk about the scandal. And I was like, does she just not know any of it? But in real time, I was thinking she wouldn't have been caught up with the drama. So she's already walking into the space. Even if she had prior knowledge, the prior knowledge that she had is the knowledge that we all had. So she's probably thinking they all hate Tom Sandoval. So she's walking into this house thinking, why are they all vacationing together in Tahoe after the scandal happened? And so then Tom is explaining things and he's like, this is Graham, but we're calling him Hippie. So she's already like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I can't make heads or tails of any of this. Then he says, I had an affair and it tore up the group. And yesterday everyone let their guard down. And she seems really sweet, but I feel like she's in over her head. And she seemed really stressed for a meditation coach. And again, I know she's walking in the lion's den, but I still feel like Shannon. And I was like, she's the meditation coach. She felt like, I felt like she was nervous. I was nervous watching her too, because I thought, what are you doing, girl? This is a lot. This is a lot. You got to be strong to get into that lion's den. I'm saying it. But anyway, then everyone comes down and they all sit and meet this woman, Shannon. Brock shows up late because he played 18 holes instead of 9. I love that. He's like in full. Brock really made me laugh. He came in like full golf mode. And you know, the straight guys, like they don't, especially when it comes to drama, like straight guys just handle things differently. I'm sorry to just generalize, but they do handle things differently. And it's just like, they're in their own little worlds. And so he came in, he just had a good round of golf. So like, he don't give a flying fuck about what happened with Scandoval or someone cheating on someone or his wife getting mad at him or wife dealing with the OCD or what. Like, he don't give a fuck about anything. Flying fuck about nothing other than how he did at golf. And there's like this serious meditation retreat to try to build the bridges of this fractured friendship group. And yet Brock just comes in happy as a clam. And then Chino's like, okay, Brock, like, let's do this exercise together. Cause the Shannon made them do this exercise where they went back to back. And Chino's like, okay, you're my husband. Like, I know you're late, but like, come over, sit by me. And Brock's like, what? I'm not doing this. And he just goes and sits, I don't know, by the dog and Allie and James. And then so she's got to go back to back with the demon Tom Sandoval. Meanwhile, Schwartz is going up back to back with Lala and he's got the dirty hoof. Did you see that? Did you see that? I don't know. It was like a close up of the bottom of his foot. And you guys, when I tell you that I don't even think he's worn a flip flop for 10 days because that bottom of his foot, it looked like he's just been walking on coal because like what was going on with the bottom of his hoof? What was going on there with his lower grippers, Tom Schwartz? It was like the dirtiest lower foot. Did they just not clean the deck? I don't know. I didn't see anyone else's bottom of their foot look like that. But I thought, you need to take a hose to that. Can we get him a hose? Somebody needed to hose down the bottom of his foot before they started this meditation scene. Because if we're going to shoot it on camera in HD, in HD. That's how I watch these shows. Do I need to see the bottom of his dirty ass foot in HD? I certainly don't. So I don't know if we could get a makeup gal in there or make a man, somebody. Put some rouge on that. I don't know. Clean it up because I don't need to see it on my screen in HD. Okay, Peacock? I don't know when you put up the episode, when you put the, I know the Peacock uploads the unedited versions or they sometimes put the censored free version. I'm going to need them to put a censored version and they just put a blurry thing over the bottom of his foot because I can't look at that again when I'm watching the reruns. So I don't know if you can put a censored version instead of the uncensored versions up on Peacock because that's what I need. And while we're there, maybe we could just start censoring some other things because there's plenty of things I've seen this season that I don't need to see again. Okay, maybe we just start censoring things that aren't working for the show in the reruns. So when I go back and watch, I don't even care if you cut out things from the episode. And when I go back and watch, I'm fine then if I got to watch a 15-minute episode in a rerun as long as you cut out Schwartz's dirty feet close-ups. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So I'm going to need the editors to get to work. Okay, moving on. Did we talk about Ariana's book photo shoot? She's doing the second cocktail book. Now, you guys know that I worked on the first cocktail book. I'm the co-author of that with the two of them. And they show a little flashback to that first cocktail book, which never really made it on the show. I think they might have shown it really quick, one frame of it or something. But when we were doing that and even post doing that, they never showed not one. And I didn't film for it, so I wasn't involved in that. But it was like nothing. But luckily, Ariana, she's doing the sequel book. It's called Single AF Cocktails. I was not involved with it. Unfortunately, I was working on my other book, so I did not ghostwrite or do any work on the new cocktail book because I was busy with the Jolliest Bunch, which you can get in stores now. But in the meantime, we saw on the show, again, showing flashbacks of the first book. And then Ariana says this is like her breakup album. And so we didn't get any footage of the first book, but I'm happy that we're getting some footage of her shooting some scenes for this next one. I don't know. All the Katie and Ariana stuff felt so separate. And I didn't understand what were they? Okay, that sandwich shop. Sandwich shop. Is it opening? That's not the point. The point is, I don't understand why they're hiring people because it's still not open. So if this filmed 3+ months ago, what were they hiring staff for? Are they bamboozling all of us? What's going on? I don't know. I want it to open. I want to get myself a sandwich. And I understand brick and mortar stuff takes a long time to open. And I'm empathetic to that. But I also don't have patience as a reality TV viewer. I mean, we all know that, right? Like, get it going. Get it going. We're not here for your patience on reality TV viewing. We're not here. We're not interested in taking our time. So you move that storyline along and you get that fucking sandwich shop open so that we have something to talk about. Because I'm not understanding why we're even interviewing people for a sandwich shop that's not open. Okay, so then we talked about Schwartz's dirty foot. The whole meditation thing, it was going a little slow. It was a little snoozy. And I know this was a supersized episode, but it was snoozy. And I thought Shannon needed to speed things up. The meditative coach, she needed to speed things up. I'm sorry. And then when they are back to back, there is some weird stuff happening where the editors show us footage. So I don't know if this happened later or what, when they're in the back to back exercises. Now, Sheena, she's really emotional during the back to back exercise. And what she's really struggling with, and they can't, of course, say this on the show, but what she, again, she's a showgirl. She knows how to give TV. She's in her head struggling because she's thinking, okay, on this TV show, I need to bend the fence with Tom Sinceville. But in real life, my loyalty should be towards Ariana. I shouldn't be having a relationship with this man that fucked her over. So she's struggling with those two things, but she doesn't actually say that. She has to say like, oh, Tom gave me money and we've been friends for so long. And that's not what she means, you guys. That's not it. And quite frankly, in real life, I encourage all of you, if a friendship's not working out or a situationship is not working out, you need to get rid of that toxic person in your life. So if you have a Tom Sinceville in your life, I don't know that you really need to keep trying to make things work. I think it's totally fine to cut ties and move on. But Shishi is more concerned with the fact that she's also creating this TV show. I mean, these are unprecedented territories. And so Shishi is struggling with that, struggling. Meanwhile, Brock is just over there with the dog thinking about his golf game. And Sheena keeps like glaring at him and she's crying too. And you could tell Brock's like a little buzzed from the golf, which by the way, later in the episode, I think Brock ordered, didn't he order a tequila with a splash of Smirnoff? Did anyone catch that? I was like, what is this drink order? And is that something I need to try? A tequila with a... I loved it. Okay, so yeah, they do that exercise. And oh, this was the thing I want to talk about, the editing. So she's crying. And then they're showing them back to back and going through these emotional things. And then the editor's flashing these like this montage footage of their relationship together. So they show a close-up of Sheena's face. And then they make it seem like that's what Sheena's thinking about. And then they do it to Tom. So then the camera cuts to Tom Sandoval. And they just show him staring off into the distance. But then they like zoom in. And then we see a montage of Tom thinking about his friendship with Shishi. And I'm like, I don't think either one of them are thinking about their past or their friendships. Sheena's thinking about, how do I look on camera next to this man who the whole America hates? And then Tom Sinceville, the inside of his head is just a tumbleweed in the desert. You know, there's nothing else going on. And so instead, the editors are trying to show us the inside of their heads. And I'm like, that's not what's going on up there. I don't believe it. And I know they are trying to do it for dramatic effect, but I swear there's just a tumbleweed crossing the desert in there. I don't think there's... Sheena's just got like Good as Gold playing on repeat, thinking of different ways to remix it. And Sinceville is just the tumbleweed. So I don't know that that's what they were necessarily thinking about, but they got to add some dramatics to the show because otherwise they're just snoozy. Shannon, poor gal, in over her head, you know, moving this meditation retreat along a little too slow for my liking. And so the editor's got to do something. They got to do some editing tricks. And so they said, this is inside of Sheena's thoughts. And I thought, that's not what it is. Inside of Tom's thoughts. That's not what it is. So I felt, at least. But Sheena, she does deep breaths in. Shannon, what did she say? She said, I want you to imagine this is the last time you'll ever see this person and just feel that. And so this is when Tom and Sheena are back to back. And I was like, this is so fucking gross. So, like, could it be more obvious that the production is trying to say, like, you guys need to be friends with Tom Sandoval? And I am someone, I've said on this show, like, we should all move on, and I want Tom to learn and grow and be better, and I want all the good things for everybody on this show. But I don't know that we need to be, like, rehabbing him so much that we're having Shannon, the meditation coach, say on camera, like, imagine this is the last time you'll ever see this person and feel that. Like, this is ludicrous. This is, come on. And then Shannon also said, what did she say? No matter what has transpired, always try to remember there's so much love before the loss. As Sheena's, like, looking deep into Tom's eyes. And I was like, Shannon, you need to cool it. That's when she lost me. I was pissed at Shannon. And I think I stuck up for her earlier. But you know what, Shannon? You need to cool it. Because this is enough. It's enough. It's manipulative. And I know all reality TV, all television in general is manipulative. But I see through this bullshit. And I'm not having it. I will not being bamboozled. I will not. Okay, but they are acting their little hearts out, and I do got to give them that, because Sheena and Tom Sandoval, they really brought something this episode, at least. They were bringing some emotion. We need something. I said last week on the show, we need everyone to look alive. We need everyone to wake up. And so at least Sheena, she was giving us tears. She was giving us storm offs. She was giving us looks at Brock. Like, she was at least giving us something. And so that, and really when it comes to a reality TV star, you know, that's what you can ask for, is some craziness. And it's got to be like the right kind of craziness, which I think that's why Sheena, and that's why I love the Dancing with the Stars storyline and this whole thing with Sheena and the meditation, because although I disagree with a lot of her actions, to me, that's what a reality star needs to be. It needs to go up to the line of crazy without crossing the line of crazy. Do you get what I mean? And I think that about on The Real Houses of Miami. We got Larsa over there. To me, Larsa, what she did to Gertie on Miami, where she revealed another cast member's cancer diagnosis to the rest of the cast and really America, because it happened on the TV show before Gertie had been able to tell her own cancer diagnosis. Now, something like that, you guys, really is despicable. Despicable behavior. Truly despicable. There's no other way to explain that. It's just despicable behavior. And yet, to me, this is a terrible thing to say on record, but to me, like, that's like going right up to the line. Again, terrible thing. Terrible, despicable thing to do. But to me, it's like sort of going right up to that line without crossing it, you know, because they could come back from it. So anything on these shows is like, you have to be able to come back from it, right? So I think, like, we got to a point where we were dealing with, like, crimes and people were going to prison and bamboozling orphans and widows. And, like, that was really fun. But then those are the kind of things that paint us in a corner. But something like Miami, where you reveal a cancer diagnosis to the rest of the cast members before the person who actually has cancer is able to reveal it to the rest of the cast members, is truly so despicable. But yet right up to that line without crossing. And you know that Gertie and Larsa come back from it. You know what I'm saying? So that is perfect. And by the way, that Miami reunion, if you haven't watched it, part 3, the last 15 or so minutes. And if you haven't watched it, I don't even want to say it on this show because I don't want to spoil it. This podcast episode is going to come out right as that's probably airing. But the last 15 minutes of that Miami reunion, woo! The Ave Maria of it all, you guys. It was like some of the peak Housewives to me. Truly some of the peak of all the Real Housewives we watch, I will go back to that part 3 of that reunion and just watch that, and I will bask in the glory of it because it was so fucking fantastic. So if you haven't watched the Miami reunion, go watch it now. Okay, what are we talking about here? The team building, she. Sometimes I forget that Sandoval had a mustache. Does anyone else forget that? I mean, I saw it in a flashback on this episode, and I'm like, there was a whole season where he just had that mustache. And it's like I block it out. Again, a trauma response, I think, because you just completely block it out. And suddenly you're faced with an image of it and you just think, what? When did that happen? And that's how I feel about his mustache. I just trauma responded it out. Okay, then we have their little montage movies. They're acting their hearts out. The group does a spirit circle and then they do other tricks to garner sympathy for that man. Sheena cries. Lala and Sheena, that's when they talk, and Sheena says she finally saw real tears from him, Tom Sandoval, and then they text Ariana. And I kind of feel like they're baiting Ariana, because I feel like Ariana's not really saying or doing anything. Like, yes, she did say, like, I'm not going to be friends with someone who's friends with X. Like, she said that, which is a completely normal thing to say in real life, but not on a TV show. But then she seems like pretty fine with it. Like, she's moved on. She knows that they're all in Tahoe with him. Like, and she doesn't seem to really care that much that they're on this cast trip. She's just saying, like, if you want to be friends with him, like, I don't want to be friends with you, right? But I feel like they keep sort of baiting her into, I don't know, getting mad at them. And then when they're not, when she's not exactly mad, they're sort of twisting her words to make it into a storyline or drama. Like, I don't think Ariana really cares about any of it. And yet they're trying to make it look like Ariana's super mad. And again, yes, she did put that line in the sand and say, if you want to be friends with them, I'm not going to be friends with them. But I don't know. Am I making sense? This feeling, this season in particular does feel like they're all prisoners of the show. And they, and we're prisoners of the show as well. And we always have been. But the truth is, it feels like that because I don't think any of them want to be there. I don't think they know exactly their place in this group. I don't think they understand how to move forward. I, as someone who recaps these shows and studies them and takes notes on them, I don't even quite understand how this show should have moved forward or should move forward from here. Like, everything's in a corner. And so maybe it'll start to make sense towards the end of the season, but we're all just prisoners. Anyway, Katie and Ariana have lunch, and that's when Sheena FaceTimes them. And then this is the other weird things too. So she's FaceTiming them from the roof of the boat, and she's saying, like, yeah, we did this meditative exercise, we cried. And Ariana's like, oh, okay, like, oh, you know, I don't want to be friends with someone who's friends with them. And like, she's trying to kind of move it along. But in real life, if somebody called you from a vacation with your ex and then was trying to talk about how you were mending your relationship with that person, I'd be like, get the fuck off the phone with me. I would say, like, fuck off. Like, stop talking to me about my ex, right? Like, I don't want anyone calling me about my exes. Unless it's like, I want a friend calling me about an ex if they have some, like, good, juicy dirt on my ex. Like, if they call me and they're like, I saw your ex and he looked so fucking bad. Like, call me when the bad things happen. Prostitution, arrested, name change. Call me when these types of things happen. I don't need to know that you're getting along with my ex who I just broke up with, who cheated on me after 9 years of being together, whatever. So call me with the bad news. I don't want my friend calling me with, like, we made up and now I'm going to go ride a gondola with them and then paint his lower grippers. Like, that's not what we need to be doing on the phone with our best friend. Anyway, what else do we have? Brock, there's some interesting things with Brock. I wish Brock would have pushed back a little more with the Toms. You know, he was on that gondola ride and he was really mad at Tom Sandoval for putting that rumor out there that he hooked up with Rachel. And Tom denied it, but Tom was really sick. Did you see the way that Tom Sandoval denied starting that rumor? He was like, oh man, I didn't do that. And I was like, oh yeah, you did. He's a liar. Like, you know, it's just so obvious sometimes when someone's lying. And he said he'd take a polygraph test, which I never want to see a polygraph test on television again. I hate when they do the polygraph test. I don't even think they work. Let's stop doing the polygraph test. And also, I think anytime somebody says they're going to do a polygraph test, I think that they're lying. Like, they're just saying that to, like, whatever. And he's, oh, I'll take a polygraph test, dude. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Brock's like, you need to stop with this. And he's, okay, okay, dude. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Brock and Tom talk at the top of this hill that they went to on the gondola. And, I think Sandoval just has a little bit of an attitude problem, and we want him to just get rid of the attitude. And look, devil's advocate, what was going on in his life at this time, everybody hating him in the whole world, and he probably got so many mean messages and mean hate online and in person, and the bar was struggling and blah, blah, blah. So it must have been living in his own hell. And then, you know, having to deal with this TV show that, again, is a prison for all of them. And so I do understand that Tom would have an attitude like this, but he needs to get rid of the fucking attitude if he wants people to move on and help him grow and learn and mend friendships. Anyway, Page Six reported that Sheena's a fake friend because a photo of her with Tom appeared online. That's right. That's right. This is what's interesting to me. Again, I'm so fascinated by the behind the scenes of all this and the social media of it all. And Vanderpump Rules is finally breaking that fourth wall. And this is, to me, the best parts of this entire season so far is all the Dancing with the Stars, the Instagram, and who's getting money for what, and the podcast stuff. And I mean, Tom even said this week, you saw me touring and you thought, wait, this was so weird. When he was at the top of the hill, he said, you saw me touring. You all saw me touring and you probably thought I was partying my ass off, but I had to make money. And I've talked about the financial. I don't understand the financials of touring that way with that whole band because there's like 7 band members. So unless he's not paying the band members, I don't know that you're making a lot of money. I just don't. Knowing tour financials, I don't understand that, but maybe there's something I'm missing. And I know all tours are run separately. So I'm not saying my word is the word according to God, but I don't get that big of a band going to those types of venues, what you could really be making and the way the tickets were priced. I don't know. I need to get my touring agent on the line because I have some questions about this. I don't know. What? I'm not a manager, so fuck off, me. I should just fuck off and shut up. Okay, moving on. Katie and Ariana, they meet with that chef consultant who, that person that's working with them, she needs to cool it too because she was trying to take over the meeting as they were trying to ask people questions. They were trying to meet with the front of house people that, I don't know. There was one man in a mustache and a pickle tie, and he was, I would have hired him in a second. Just, do you see that man? He worked at a Four Seasons, I think. He was being interviewed by Ariana, Katie, and that other one. And he had a pickle tie. And I would have just, that's why I can never be in charge of a sandwich shop. Because immediately if somebody walked in a pickle tie, I'd say, you seem fun, you're hired. They don't even say anything. I don't even care what the fuck's on their resume. I'd say, you seem like a good time. Anybody who is able to confidently wear a pickle tie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love that man. And while we're here talking about confident men, I do just have to talk briefly. Very briefly about Summer House, which is actually a spinoff of Vanderpump Rules, so I think it's okay that we talk about it here. But on the season of Summer House, which I think is a really good season, and I'm suddenly on Team Carl, which I wasn't expecting going into this year, but here we are. I'm on Team Carl. I'm sorry, Lindsay, but I've seen too much, and I do not care for your actions this season. Anyway, on Summer House, there's these two new men on Summer House. Yeah, scary. Anytime they add a man on that show, because we never know what we're going to get. And every person that we've gotten so far has been a flop or a dud, or they give us someone good and then they get rid of them. You know, we get someone as hot as Andrea, and then suddenly I tune on the Summer House for the next season and I can't see that hot Italian man. Or we get Luke getting maple syrup from a tree and looking hot doing it. And then I look around the next season, I say, where's Luke? Where's Luke? Take the top off and get him back on camera. I'm sorry. But anyway, every time we get new men, I'm like, okay, we're going to get another flop man who's going to last one season. And so we got these two new men. One of them's named West. And then I forget the other one's name. I don't like the other one. But West, I'm obsessed with. And he's got a little crush on Sierra. He's so confident, quirky. I find him also very sexy, I think, because of his personality. But I don't know. I love this man so far. And I'm going to regret these words. I'm sure I'll regret these words. Because in a season or two, when I see that man's true colors, I might not like him. Right now, I see his true colors. And that's why I love him. Because that man seems to be a good catch. And yet, he likes Sierra. And I'm so concerned that Sierra's just not going to give him the time of day. Because she always goes after them other duds. And she was thirsting after Austin for all that time. Ugh, jail. Electric chair. And so now that this nice young man who seems like he's kind, he's cooking and he's responsible, he seems like he's cleaning at times in the house. I see him in the background sometimes just like cleaning or cooking. And I'm like, this man is a catch. Do not let him go. So Sierra, if you can hear me, Sierra, if you're listening, listen to me. Go towards the light of that man and run from that other tall man. Because I don't even remember his name. I don't remember his name. But the way he's flirting with Paige, I do not care for that either, you guys. He's like flirting with Paige. And I saw a teaser for the upcoming season, or for the rest of the season. I saw he flirts with Paige even more. Does he not know Craigie's going to come in that house? And Craigie's been working out too. I've been following him on social media. He's been at the gym. And so Craigie's going to just hop on out of that gym and he's going to go kick your ass. Then he'll send word out to that Sewing Down South pillow mafia and make sure that his head don't have a place to rest as it's healing. And so I would not do that. And Paige, she's not giving in. She's not flirting back. But I do not like that man. Close your legs to married pages. Close your legs to married Southern Charm cast members. I know they're not married yet, but you do not do that. Okay, so that was Summer House. Go after West. Okay, what are we talking about? Did we talk about everything on Vanderpump Rules? I don't know that we have much more. Let me look through this. Boat ride, they have fun. Oh, there's that whole Lala fight, which is interesting to me. I didn't love that. Okay, I'm going to stick up for Tom Sandoval. Sorry to do it, but I don't know that he's Lala saying that he was a groomer, to me, that word crossed a line, I thought. Yes, he's a demon. I mean, I could think of a million words. Don't get me started. I'll think of a million adjectives to describe that man. But I just felt like that was too far. Okay, then what else is happening? Oh, there was a weird moment where Tom Sandoval asked if one of them, if they wanted a hit. And it was a hit of oxygen. He said it to Allie. He's like, you want a hit? I can't. I love these. I know I complain about this show, but really, like, this was a good episode. I'm sorry. It was. And by the way, even a bad episode is a good episode compared to anything else on television. And so I look at some of these things happening. I'm like, they're so fucking absurd. When I look at my notes, you guys, every week on this podcast, I look down at my notes and I say, what the fuck am I watching? And also that we're so blessed. And if Bethany Frankel continues to try to take down Bravo, I don't know what I'll do, because I cannot have that. I cannot live without these shows, because I'm hanging on by a very thin thread, as I know most of you listeners are as well. Okay, do not try to lie to me or and pretend you're not, because I know we're all hanging on by a very thin thread. If you turn on the Bravo network, I just assume if you got that network on in the background, even of your facility, some people I know at work, you go into an office or something, a waiting room, and you see on the TV, they got a TV going. And I know immediately if I walk into an establishment like that and they have Bravo on the TV, I think, oh, the person who turned on that TV, the receptionist or whoever it is that turned on that television, they are hanging on by a very thin thread, because that's what one thing that we all have in common. I don't care who you are out there. If you're listening to this podcast, you're hanging on by an even thinner thread. If you're not only watching these shows and keeping up with all of them, but then turn on a podcast where a man talks into a microphone for an hour to talk about them, then you got an even, we're all on dental floss. We're hanging on by dental floss right now. And so, that's what we have in common. And I'm grateful to Bravo for being that thread that gets us all through, because otherwise I don't know that all of us would survive. And so Bethany, you need to cool it, because I need the network for my own survival. I'm sorry. Speaking of when Lala and Sandoval were fighting, Lala said, like, you're not my dad. You ain't my mama. You don't get to talk to me about my past. And it was really channeling Dorinda. The way that she said that sentence, I was like, that's Dorinda coded. There was like a weird, I don't know, it was the turn of phrase. If she had a couple cocktails, if she had one martini in her, I think it would have sounded exactly like, you would have closed your eyes and you thought, am I watching Dorinda? And that's what would have happened. It would have, because that's how Lala sounded this episode when she was yelling at Zinsval. They're fighting about like who's been more transparent or for the show, or who lied more for the show. And I don't know. It was interesting to see the cameras in the background. I liked all that. And I don't know, they were fighting, and Tom Sandoval was wearing an I Feel Fine top, and Brock was in brightly colored Speedo in the background, and Sheena had a bucket cap on, and there was an American flag in the wind, and Sheena and Lala both have their pokey nipples out. And so as I looked around on the screen, I felt like we were back. And so again, I know I have so many complaints about the show, but really when you saw that scene and Lala and Tom arguing with each other and then just looking at all their outfits and they're on a boat in the water, I thought, okay, we're kind of back. We sort of are. Maybe not permanently. Maybe it was just a fleeting moment of being back. But for that fleeting moment, I felt like, oh, we're kind of getting back there. Okay, so then Brock also talked about love with a pig farmer. What was that? Did I read that wrong? I wrote that in my notes. Brock talked about love with a pig farmer. I don't know. Maybe I missed something. Oh, you guys, I didn't even talk about the most important part of the episode. Jacqueline FaceTiming with James. James's mother. That's right. Red alert. Red alert. Red alert. God bless the U.S. I was certainly not expecting to get a FaceTime phone call from Jackie. That's right. James's mom called this episode, and when the show needed her the most, she called in, and I'm grateful. She saw they were in trouble, and she said, let me get a wireless plan and some Wi-Fi, and I'm in. She called on camera, and that's why she's good TV, and she made her son good TV as well, because James is great TV. And so I was just so happy to see from Jackie. So, and we haven't seen her in a while since she said that thing about James and the Tiffany boxes or whatever. Ugh, I missed her. I missed her. Mic her up and get her back on camera, because Jackie, she seems like a good time gal. And I just feel like I need to know more about her. Jacqueline, the mom. I keep calling her Jackie. It's Jacqueline, right? Jackie. I don't know. I feel like she's a Jackie at heart. She's spiritually a Jackie. Just vibe wise, she's Jackie for sure. Jackie. And I just picture her in the 80s. I don't know. I can see her at a bar in the 80s. I can. And I don't even know how old she would have been in the 80s, but I could picture her in a bar in the 80s. And if I was there, I'd be like, Jackie. And then we'd have a cocktail if I was old enough in the 80s, which I'm not. Anyway, moving on. It's time for, there's this end moment with Sheena and Lala. And I think one of Lala says it's time for Ariana to pull her head out of her own ass. And I don't know. Lala's like kind of egging on Shishi about all the Ariana stuff. And next week we see Lala rebranding. Oh, Lala has have another baby. She's having another baby. You guys, she's having another baby. And she's having another baby. Do we know who she's having? She's revealed any more information about the baby, but she's having another baby. I saw an Instagram post about it. And then Sheena ends the episode by saying, why can I never have a moment about me? And I just would like to remind us all that this show is actually really started because of Sheena, and If you really go back to the very first moment of this show, Sheena, it was about you. So I don't know what you're complaining about, because that very first second, the first frame we ever saw, which wasn't even on this show, it was really the other show. It was The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That's how this show was launched. And guess who launched it? It was Sheena Shea when she sat down with Brandi Glanville. And then she walked back into the kitchen. And so, Sheena, really, that first frame was all about you. And so I don't know that what you're complaining about. I know you might not have gotten the audience response exactly that you might have wanted or deserved. But I don't know that you can complain about it not being about you, you know? Anyway, next week on the show, yeah, we get some Lala rebranding, and she's looking for some semen. So I guess we'll find out on the show her progress with having a child. I guess they're going to show us that. And then Schwartz and Joe, uh-oh. Oh, and then Lala and Katie have a little feud going. And LVP reveals that she spoke to... I've kind of had it with LVP, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. That's Vanderpump Rules. I do have some thoughts on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, so let's take a quick break. And then we're going to talk about Kyle's Kemosabe tattoo. All right, we'll be right back. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Go to everythingiconic.store for Everything Iconic merch. We have shirts and hats, and you can get side copies of my book, everythingiconic.store. And thank you to Acast, and we'll be right back. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. And we're back. Okay, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Let's take a listen to my favorite clip from this week's part two of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. I thought this speech, to me, was Emmy-worthy from Kyle Slutz-Richards. This, to me, was like the designing women's speech about Georgia. This is any given Sunday locker room speech. This is Braveheart speech. This is cinema.
Let me tell you something. I've been on the show for 13 years. I've watched my two-year-old birthday party to that child is now going to be applying to colleges next year. My children learning how to drive a car, going off to college, coming home from college, getting engaged, rumors about my marriage. I've had two siblings on the show. My family has fallen apart. Don't talk to me about not sharing what's going on in my life. You got a horse this season, and you have a dating coach. Give me a break.
I got goosebumps. Even Sutton's like little giggle after Kyle did that speech. You guys, you know, she was shook. We were all shook. You know how I feel about Slutz-Richards. And yet I was watching her in that monologue and I was yelling, go girl. The Oscars are this. No one still yells go girl. Except for me. When I'm watching these shows, I think I still do yell it. I'm sure if I had a camera. Matt, check the ring footage. We need to figure out. I'm sure when I watch these episodes, I'm just yelling at the screen like, go girl. Which probably ended in, 97? People stopped saying, you go, girl. Anyway, we need to bring it back because it's fun. Kyle's Kemosabe tattoo. Did you guys see this? Yes, I'm sorry to report here on this podcast that Slutz-Richards got another tattoo. She got a cowboy hat. And people are speculating. They're thinking, is this for Morgan? Is this... Really, it's about Kemosabe. I'm sorry. It's about the store where she gets the hats. That's what I believe. And although I do think we'll look back on this time and see all of the signs of Kyle's relationship with Morgan come into focus, I still think that that actual tattoo, I think there have been other tattoos that probably were more special to Kyle about Morgan. But I think when it comes to this cowboy tattoo, it's just a very small little drawing of a cowboy hat. I do not believe it's for Morgan. I believe it's for the store that Kyle seems to really love in Aspen called Kemosabe, where she likes to bring the gals to get hats. And so I think that's what it's about. But again, I think all the other things we're going to look back on and look at Kyle and say, oh yeah, of course she was in a relationship with that woman, Morgan. Of course. Yeah, we were all being so crazy to even speculate on it. Of course. And I got to say, last week on the show, I talked about a little bit about this, and I was thinking about it over the week. And Matt and I, my boyfriend, we talk about family planning and having kids one day and all that stuff. And so, no news to report or anything right now, but we talk about kid names all the time, and we're so different on kid names. And so he tends to like crazier names. He wants something like unique that nobody has ever thought of, or nobody has ever named their kid. And I like a more traditional name, or even I want something like either super Italian or very just kind of basic and traditional. Like I like a traditional name. And so we can never agree on names. I'm like, let's do Oliver if we had a boy. And he's like, no, I fucking hate that name. And he's like, let's name him, I don't know, binder series, or I don't know. I just looked at a binder and the word series, but that's the kind of vibe. It's like he likes something totally crazy and I like something totally different. So we were talking about throughout the week. I saw on my social media, there was this clip from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Sienna Miller, the actress, was on an episode or whatever. And so I thought, oh my God, Sienna. Sienna, I have always loved that name. And I remembered liking it as a kid, Sienna. So I go up to Matt and I was like, you know, what do you think of the name Sienna if we had a girl? And Matt's like, oh, Sienna, why did you think of that name? You know, he's trying to think of like what brought it up to me. And I was like, well, I've always loved it. When I was a kid, I remember in my crayon box, seeing the crayon burnt Sienna. Seeing, you know, Crayola give you that crayon box. And when you got the extended crayon box, the one that was like 100 crayons or 96 crayons, or remember the big box? I know those crayon boxes were such a fucking delight in the 90s. You know, the bigger the crayon box, the more excited you were, the more hyped. Because that big-ass crayon box, oh, you guys, there was nothing better than get that big-ass crayon box. I wanted it so badly for my birthday one year, and I got it. And it was the happiest day of my whole life. My whole life, the big-ass crayon box. Not a small crayon, the bigger the crayon box, you guys, that was like my best birthday gift the one year. The big, I think it was 96 crayons. It was like a big box. Anyway, I remember reading the crayon. It was like a color called Burnt Sienna. And so I'm telling Matt this. I'm like, yeah, I liked this name ever since I was a kid. I remember seeing the crayon color Burnt Sienna. And Matt's like, so when you were a kid and you were just doing like drawings, you were thinking about baby names. You were like looking at a crayon as a toddler and thinking, oh, that'd be a good name for a girl. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, wow, how gay was I? You know, like, yeah, I was taking the crayons out of the box and thinking, would this be a good name for a little girl? And so, yeah, that's who I was. But so we look back and we say, what the fuck? What the fuck? Okay, so Kyle on this week's episode, she's really coming. There's something that happened with Dorit, because I'm not only noticing so much subtext between Dorit, Kyle, and now Garcelle, even this episode, I was noticing some subtext, because Garcelle has been coming after Dorit a little bit. And I'm seeing subtext that says something happened off camera, or these gals learned something about Dorit, or I don't even know what. I don't know what. But there's weird stuff about the robbery where they keep talking about it. And Garcelle brought that up again. And she's like, that was just my, I don't, there's something that happened. And I don't think we'll ever get answers to it. To me, it reads as something that was like so serious that everybody knows, like, oh yeah, this isn't worth bringing it up on camera. Like, let's just get Dorit out of here. Does that make sense? And maybe I'm reading it wrong. That's just me as an audience member, just taking it in and thinking of the subtext behind it. So it could be false, but I believe something happened and we just might not ever know about what it is. But I think it was something serious, right? Like, there's just, Garcelle said in the confessional about the robbery situation, and I'm sort of convinced that the gals think that Dorit is lying about the robbery, but they talk about the phone, the robbers leaving it by the gate. And I don't even think they would talk about this if more than one of them believed, you know, if only one of them believed it, I don't think we'd even be talking about the robbery again and leaving the phone. But I feel like there's some other thing that they're trying to tell us without being able to actually tell us. Does that make sense? And Kyle didn't even stick up for Dorit when Garcelle was saying that thing about leaving the phone by the gate. And if anyone's going to stick up for Dorit when it came to that, I think it would have been Kyle. But I believe Kyle knows something, and it might not even have to do with the robbery. Maybe it's something else, but I believe somebody knows something that we'll never know. Anyway, Dorit has no prenup, and she's talking about like the situation with her and PK, and she's like, oh, we've never been better. We've better than ever. Baba, you know, and all the ladies are making the faces. That makes me think too, something's up. And she says PK's been sober for 49 days and I don't know. Kyle got mad at Dorit for bringing up her marriage on camera. And I just have to say, this is a television show about your lives. And so I understand that you don't want it to come up on camera, but we need it to come up on camera. So God bless anyone who brings up these things on camera because we need them brought up. And Kyle, you might want to hide things, but it's a TV show and she's a castmate on a TV show. So of course it's her job to also bring it up. So anyway, I'm tough on Kyle, but I also do feel like she's living in a hell of her own making as well with this TV show. I don't think she wants to share her life at all. Every time you see her, she's like, it's not natural to me to have conflict with people. And I don't like having to deal with situations with my siblings on camera. I very rarely see Kyle in an interview off Bravo or even on Bravo. If you see her on Watch What Happens Live or sometimes you see after show clips and it never feels like she likes doing this at all. It feels like this is a hell of her own making. And maybe she likes being on camera, on television or on screen. But I actually think like the process of being in a reality TV show is absolute fucking hell for Kyle. And so, but she keeps doing it. And so it's frustrating though, I think is my frustration with Kyle is just that I want it all in or all out. Like I want you to, I don't know. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back with so much more. Sit tight, little bear. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Anyway, Andy asks Erica about meeting with the victims for that Hulu thing that she did. And she said she wanted to see him. And Andy's like, well, can you explain better to me why you sat down with the victims of people who were bamboozled by her husband? And she's like, no, I cannot. I cannot. And Andy's like, well, why not? And she just says, well, I cannot. And I'm like, I need more information about that. And I don't understand the dementia thing because it's been ruled that he's okay to stand trial. How can he stand trial? And meanwhile, Crystal's trying to explain Alzheimer's. She's all of a sudden an Alzheimer's expert because she, you know, she's dealt with it in her family. And so she's calling it out. And so I'm so grateful that she's on that stage because it didn't make any sense. Like, I need a court. I need someone to explain that to me. How can he be ruled that he's got dementia, but then can be ruled to okay to stand trial? I don't get that. I don't get that. Did you guys watch the Erica Jane spinoff show? Am I allowed to talk about it? I did get to see the two episodes, you guys, and I loved it. I loved it. I did get to see it. And my favorite thing about it was exactly what I was expecting to love about it. It's just Mikey Minnan yelling, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then just the whole time, just like yelling orders off camera, you know, at her on stage. I loved it. I could watch forever of that. Just put them on tour. Let me see more of it. Okay, then Kathy arrives, which doesn't make any sense. And no one even explained why Kathy was there. She wasn't on this whole season. Not even, did she even have one scene this season? Doesn't even make any sense why she wanted to show up. But she does say in her makeup trailer, she says her Mauricio and Kyle have been having trouble for about 3 to 4 years. And what were they doing with her hair? Were they spraying oxygen on her hair? I felt like they were. Isn't it wild how everyone's wearing shoulder pads again? The women, the gals are wearing shoulder pads again. I don't know. I just had to bring that up. Okay, Andy says he notice something with the women on these shows. He says he notices that the women on these shows, they often discover a voice or a confidence that they didn't have before. And so this came up when he was talking about Sutton and her ex. And I think there is an interesting dynamic that she has with the ex. I wish we could see him on camera. I wish we could have gotten to know him a little bit, because when she was talking about it on the reunion, I thought, I want to know more about this Christian, I think is his name. And I'm fascinated by him, but I don't know that I need to know more unless we're going to actually get to meet him. Does that make sense? Like, don't keep talking about him if we're never going to get to meet him. But can't we get him in for one scene or something? Like, just introduce me to him. And so I have a visual, and then we get rid of you. Did Anna Marie talk at all this episode? Oh, I think there was one moment. Oh, yeah, yeah. There was one moment where Andy asked, like, Anna Marie, what did you think? And it was, like, on something that I don't even think they cared, but they were like, we got to give her a line this episode because otherwise she didn't speak. She didn't speak. Oh, and Andy asks, there was one question where Andy said, Kyle, in an Amazon Live, you mentioned taking a break from Sutton. And there was another time where he said, on a podcast, where he didn't specify. He's like, on a podcast, one of you said this. But then when he's talking about the Amazon Live, he specifically said Amazon Live. And that's why I think Amazon Live is in cahoots with Bravo. You know, I've been trying to figure out that connection forever. I feel like there's a connection there, and I'm still on it. But when he said that, I thought they don't normally always say the brand. Or sometimes when they bring up an interview, they don't always say, like, it was from this thing. But he said specifically from Amazon Live. And I thought, uh-oh, there's a smoking gun. There's a smoking gun. You know, I shouted, and I yelled, you go, girl. Right at the TV. Okay, then Andy asked something about Teddy doing Kyle's dirty work on Watch What Happens Live. And, so they end with the Denise. Denise had a lot of play this week episode, and she wasn't even on that reunion stage, but they did a whole Denise package earlier in the episode where it was Denise getting in fights with Erica Jane and being at the dinner party and not putting on the jacket on properly. And then they asked all the gals about Denise, and then they end with a Denise quote. And it was like Sutton saying, watch the show, as Denise says. And I thought, Denise's power. Oh, did we talk about how Sutton makes $300,000 a month from her ex? That's crazy, right? Love you all so much for listening to Everything Iconic, and we'll talk next week. Bye-bye.